Hi there. You're listening to the Voice with Action podcast. I am your host, Deb Balico.
And I am Rebecca Pratt, co-founder and president of Orphan Relief and Rescue. Tune in to be awakened and inspired to take action towards what you were created to do in this world, to live fully alive.
Hello, and welcome to the Voice with Action podcast. I'm here with Rebecca. This is our fundraising season, fundraising for these children. But she and I were talking off camera, the importance of investing in children and in their lives and the lasting impact of that investment. So I know, Rebecca, you had brought up Proverbs 22:6. Do you want to read that and jump on in and share your thoughts and stories?
Okay. It says, train up a child in the way that he should go, and when he is old, he will not depart from it. And it says this verse is often understood as a principle for parents to provide instruction and guidance to their children with the hope that they will remain on a righteous path. While it may seem as a promise, it's more accurately interpreted as a principle, emphasizing the importance of consistent, God-centered guidance in a child's life. And what I was really pondering on this morning in particular was that anything that's worth much does cost much. It costs us our time, our resources, costs us maybe being a little uncomfortable. I'm thinking of my own biological children that I raised, and I had 3 kids in 5 years. And I just remember every single day, just get me through the day, Lord, get me through the day, help me to be okay, you know, through the day. And just the exhaustion that I felt, but that it was instilled in me from the time I was young of what health looked like in raising children. And, you know, my own mom, and then I have some aunts that really poured their life into me. I remember going to my cousin's house, and I would be helping one of my aunts with doing dishes. And in the kitchen, you know, my aunt would be constantly just sowing life into me, just speaking life, speaking about the different circumstances that, you know, were in front of us and how to healthily walk through those circumstances. And I remember just formulating how I wanted to live my life through many of those conversations of what was health and what was not. And in those early years, I was deciding how I wanted to live my life and how I didn't want to be somebody that caused harm to others. I wanted to be somebody who my life represented giving life to others, like brought beauty into others' lives and was an encouragement to others. And, you know, we all know people in our life that are living what we call a selfish life, where everything is about them. They're choosing just to do whatever they want to do, feeling like it's not affecting anybody but themselves and they can do what they want. And the destructive behavior that follows in their life, it causes harm and hurt to every single person around them and who loves them. And so that is what I formulated as a young, really. It was like, I would say probably starting at 10, I started doing dishes, you know, in my predominantly in my aunt's house. I have 3 aunts that were strategic. I call them my second, third, and fourth moms, you know, because I did have my own mom at home. But that I spent a lot of time at my cousins' homes. And this is where I thankfully had really strong mentors that invested time, invested conversations, and valued that. And so now, you know, fast forward to these years, you know, I hope I did that well with my own biological kids, which thankfully they're all amazing adults and they're raising their own families. And I'm so proud of each of them. They are also bringing beauty through their life. And, you know, the kids in Africa that we serve, who have come from incredible traumatic experiences, and helping them to be raised in a way that they're getting, yes, their own healing from those traumatic things, but then raising them in a way that they are not going to be raised with that victimhood, with that victim mentality, but they're going to be raised in a way of learning to walk in forgiveness and learning to walk in this healing that God has to offer for our lives as we walk in these forgiveness of the things that, you know, of people that harmed us. But then it's also helping them realize that everything that they've been through can actually be used to give them a sense of empathy for others who are going through difficult things themselves. So I know, like in my own life, every difficult thing that I've gone through that has humbled me, hurt me, harmed me emotionally or physically or practically or however, I am choosing to walk in forgiveness so that I can have beauty flow through my life and not be in that victimhood. And so that's what we have worked hard with the children that we serve, especially in Africa, where we are literally, I mean, unbelievable circumstances. You know, some kids have watched parents be murdered in front of them. Like, how are you okay after that? I don't even know how do you even counsel a child after that? And we've realized that, honestly, Jesus is the only one that can come in and literally help them walk through that healing part, which supernaturally he does do. But I wanted to kind of highlight some of these kids' stories that I'm honestly so proud of, that they are literally using the pain and the hurt in their life to bring beauty and healing through their life onto others. And it is incredible. And I personally am working myself out of a job. I hope all these older kids end up running Orphan Relief and Rescue because of the caliber of what they're being raised just walking in. So one of the young ladies, she was raised in the orphanage safe home. And I'm not going to mention these kids' names for mainly for their protection, but I just haven't got their permission to like use their stories. But one of these young ladies has four siblings that she was raised with in the orphanage safe home. She was the older sister. They were all looking at her. She was going to be the example, but she's been through a lot of hurt in her life. And she chose to walk in forgiveness of the people that have hurt her and her family. And she decided she wanted to become a doctor. So she just finished 8 years of medical school after graduating from high school. And she is our first doctor out of this orphanage safe home. And she got an amazing job with the local public hospital, which they never hire someone just coming out of medical school. But she had such high marks, such high grades, and she had a great professor that gave the highest recommendation to this hospital and said, you know, you need to hire this woman. And so she got a job in this public hospital, and she is a full-fledged doctor now, a general practice doctor. And I'm calling her on a regular basis since July, since her graduation. And she's kind of like the in-house doctor now. So anything that happens, I'm like, okay, you got to call her and she's got to advise you because I trust her. You know, she's got all the latest and greatest things out there medically. And so she knows what she's talking about when we call her.
And aren't we consulting her like for our vision of having, you know, like a monthly clinic or something at these freedom centers? Aren't we consulting her with that?
Yeah. So we want to open up a once a month clinic at one of the freedom centers. We're going to start at our Christopher Community Freedom Center. And the person who actually was interviewed on here, the family, different family members were interviewed on this podcast, and they are helping to spearhead that, trying to get her to come in with a nurse and do those clinics. And it's going to be really sweet. But, you know, it's someone who has not walked in that victimhood, but is using her, I'd say, her pain from her past to bring healing, honestly, to others and to do it through medical means. And so, yeah, so that's the beautiful story. We have another young lady who grew up in the orphanage safe home. She now works for us. She's working with our savings and loan program. She's also one of our monitors with the kids, making sure that the kids are not re-trafficked or trafficked. She is doing her master's program right now. We want her to phase into being being more community development, business training type person for Orphan Relief and Rescue. So she also, same thing, came from very difficult circumstances in her life. And she has chosen to not be a victim as well. And she loves what she is doing. She is like, she's very strong. I say her voice. She carries her voice very loudly and she commands a presence when she's talking to these kids. But she is so loving and kind to them at the same time. But she was raised in, you know, in very difficult circumstances before she came into the safe home, the orphanage safe home. And she just has a compassion for these children as well. And she's one that is a world changer in front of her. And she's knows how to rally kids. I mean, she just commands the authority immediately when she walks in a loving, very loving way. But that's, it's been beautiful.
I do love, Rebecca, you sharing these stories, how you use the word victim, like they could choose to be a victim from the pain of their past. But because of Jesus and Jesus redeeming them and mentors in their life, showing them the love of Jesus, that has totally changed their motivation. And instead of being motivated to be a victim, they're motivated to bring healing, to bring redemption, to bring this message of hope for the hopeless, because they were once hopeless. And it really is beautiful. I know these women, they're heroes to me as well. The beauty that can come from ashes because of Jesus. It really is amazing. So yeah, I know you have another story too.
Yeah, so I have a friend that I went to lunch with on Sunday, and she's reading a book, you know, a lot on trauma and healing and different things. But she sent me this out of one of the books that she's reading, and she says, "Is it not interesting that some of the most important lessons we have to learn come in the most adverse situations? We all want to avoid the pains, the disappointments and tragedies of life, and yet, in retrospect, we have been advantaged by them. This is not to minimize the reality of the pain at all. It is that there are truths that we could not have learned any other way." And so it's very delicate, because when there's trauma and pain, it is so easy to wallow in that pain, because in a sense, we've been victimized and hurt and harmed, and a part of our, I'd say our psyche is so affected, and it's a time of depression, really, and sadness in our life. And yet, if we can channel that into finding our strength, and a lot of it is walking in forgiveness so that the Lord can heal our heart. If we can do that and choose not to walk in that victimhood, but to learn from me personally, the things the difficult things in my life that I've gone through, it has given me incredible extra empathy for others. And I have such an extra sense of, I guess, probably because I can relate, you know, to people who have been through some trauma. And so I'm like, oh my goodness, I want to help people not be so beaten down. You know, they say be kind because you don't know what people have experienced. You know, I remember in walking through one of my trauma situations, it was like probably for 6 months, every time I was in my car, if somebody would honk the horn, all of a sudden I would just go into this mode of like, and I would just not be okay. I was clearly not okay. And it would wreck me most of the day that it was a horn, it honked, you know, but it messed with my psyche in a way that I realized I was not okay. I still wasn't okay. And it took about 6 months to where somebody now, when they honk on the horn, I'm like, oh, it, you know, it startles you, but it doesn't mess with your psyche where you're like, oh dear, I'm not okay. I'm having breathing problems for a minute. You know, I have extra sympathy now for everyone that I deal with, in whether it's with Orphan Relief Rescue, with these kids, whether it's in my speaking engagements. I'm assuming everyone has some sort of hardship and trauma that they either are experiencing or have experienced in their life. And so for my own life, I'm just being extra cautious to make sure that I am kind, that I walk in kindness, because I don't know what they are dealing with. You know, when I went through my own trauma, people didn't know what I was going through, you know. I'm putting on my makeup, I'm doing my hair, I'm going out and I have to do normal life. Nobody knows, you know, what I just experienced. And so at the same time, when somebody would honk on me, I wouldn't be okay for the entire day. And heaven forbid, if somebody yelled at me for something, you know, during COVID, I had a guy yell at me because I reached for a vitamin canister at the health food store and I reached over somebody and they turned to me and just snapped at me. And I was like, oh, I'm not okay. I'm not okay. You know? Okay. So back to the kids. So, you know, we have one little girl and she came from a village where her grandmother's a witch and they were going to sell her. And so she came into the orphanage safe home, you know, to protect her. She graduated from high school, went through an apprenticeship, and now she's one of the teachers of the apprentice things. I am so proud of her, but I remember the stories that she would say. We were mandated by the social welfare office to send these kids back to their village so they didn't lose their culture on holidays. And we didn't want to do it, but the government was forcing us, you know, at least 2 weeks a year, they had to go back to their villages to keep their connection, even if they were true orphans, no mother, no father alive. So it would be these relatives like the grandmother that would have these kids in their home. So this one particular grandmother, I heard she had been a witch. And so when this little girl came back, I said, can you tell me how your time was? And she says, well, my grandmother was always trying to get me to eat something connected to the voodoo. But she says, I did not do it. And I was not going to do it because I knew what that would do. And she was a very smart little girl. That exchange, what they do is they do this voodoo ceremony with a piece of food and they have their children or their grandchildren eat that food that has been in a ritual with the voodoo. And when they do that, it has some sort of control that they gain over that child. And when they want to do something in the spirit realm, they don't do it themselves. They put that child into a trance and send that child to do the assignment of what they want to do to harm somebody. And so they can never be incriminated personally. And it's a child, so the child usually is not prosecuted. So it's how they get away with doing pretty terrible things through the conduit of one of their children or grandchildren. And so this little girl was very smart to know that she was not to touch that. And she said, and then I would pray over my food when I would eat it, because I would pray and dedicate it to Jesus just in case she tried to do anything with anything else that I didn't know about. And the grandmother would get so upset with her and beat her because she was upset that she wasn't doing what she was told. She wasn't being obedient. And so this little girl's telling me this as a 10-year-old. And I am just like, oh my gosh, these kids are like adult conversations that I'm having with them, you know, and they're very smart. So now this little girl was raised loving Jesus, knowing the power of Jesus, knowing that she has all authority over these demonic presences and these different things that she grew up just feeling oppressed in. And now she is actually a trainer of other kids in an apprentice program, but she's also very smart with the spiritual realm. So when she sees something, she can pray into it, she can speak into it. And I think of all the conversations, you know, of having with her in particular and investing into these conversations of just affirming her and encouraging her and just like, wow, you are an amazing young woman. Like, wow, you know, this is incredible. And just encouraging her to dig into the Word of God and to memorize scripture and to continue to silence the lies of the enemy and the attacks, because these grandparents, they do all kinds of channeling stuff trying to get to them, even in the orphanage safe home. And so, yeah, the investment into children, and this is something that, you know, Deb, you're raising kids as well. The investment that we pour into our kids, and I'm not talking just financial investment. I'm a big believer in, you know, kids should work if they have, you know, if they're able to work, make them work for certain things, you know, to get. We don't just hand them everything. But emotionally, to take time and the emotional training and pushing them towards Proverbs is amazing. You know, one a day of the Proverbs is, you know, gains, this is how we gain wisdom, is reading the Proverbs. And yeah, none of that is wasted. And so we're seeing over and over. And so, yeah, I want to hear from you, Deb, and just what you feel like God has shown you with this investment into your children.
Yeah, I think so much of it too is listening to my children and seeing, because from day to day, the investment might be greater than I anticipate. And so it really, like, I liked how you used the word in the beginning that it costs something, it costs much. So even if I might plan out my evening, you know, let's say, oh, I would love my kids to be in bed, you know, by 8 o'clock so that I can read a book or so I can, you know, have some time for me, which is important. I need to be able to sacrifice that if that night my children need more from me. So when they were younger, I have 3 children. I made sure that each day I at least spent like focused. I tried 15 minutes with each of them. And I would even set a timer and it was our special time for 15 minutes. And it doesn't seem like much, but it was huge to them. They just would shine. They're like, oh, mom, when do I get my 15 minutes? And even now that they're older, you know, my oldest is 14, 11, and 9. So even my 14-year-old who just wants to talk, he's like, when do I get my 15 minutes? Now, you know, still. Sometimes it turns into much longer because he needs more processing time. But it's really me guarding my time too. I want to make sure that by the time they're home from school, I want to make sure that at least 3 of the 5 days when they come home from school, I want to be there done with my work so that I can just sit with them and be with them. I had to travel over the weekend. So last night, you know, I needed 2 hours with my daughter to just have more quality time with her because I had missed it over the weekend. And it's something as simple as cuddling with her and reading a story. You know, she just wanted my attention. That's all it is. It doesn't have to be anything fancy. She just wants my undivided attention. I don't have the phone with me. I don't have, you know, she gets mad if her little time is interrupted by her brothers. So that is funny, that little 15 minutes, they get real mad if a sibling interrupts that timer. So, yeah, start with something small is what I really would encourage, is start, especially if you have more children. I mean, even give them 5 minutes of focused, uninterrupted time of playing whatever they want to play, whatever they choose to play. And it goes a really long way. But the other thing I wanted to revisit that you talked about, Rebecca, you mentioned the word mentors in your life, because I know growing up, you know, your mom didn't always have the availability or capacity to be with you just because of personal things going on in her life. But yet you had these aunts that did have space to talk to you while you were cleaning, or did have space to speak into your life. So this concept of mentors, I think of even the women and the mentors in my life, especially that season of being right out of college, when you're kind of like, what do I do with myself? Because college is done. Where's my community? Having mentors at that age group was vital for forming deep wells in my life, deep wells of the love of Jesus that have carried me still to this day. So I was curious, could you speak in our closing time kind of to mentors, whether, let's say there's a listener that's either looking for a mentor, number one, or someone that the Lord's putting it upon their heart to be a mentor. And when I say mentor, just be intentional with their time, with the young person that is in front of them.
Yeah, I think the intentional part is huge. So I've got 9 grandkids. And so I have been very challenged by the Lord to take them on dates, you know, one at a time if I can, or do a cousin date or something, going for walks one-on-one or with 2 of them, and just ask them about their life. You know, my big thing is I do the highs and lows, you know, tell me what's some exciting thing in your life, what's difficult in your life. And then the difficult stuff, we can process that difficult things. But literally being present, taking some time and utilizing whatever moments we have with these different little ones or teenagers in our path, and just speaking life into them, encouraging them in their own walks with the Lord, encouraging them to get into the Word of God, encouraging them to just be somebody that beauty flows through their life as well. You know, like I said, we all know people that are living a life of selfishness that's harming people around them and causing pain and hurt. And let's choose to not be that, but let's also help the different ones around us, predominantly children that are figuring out how they want to live their life. Let's encourage them to have beauty flow through their life and have health flow through their life and to be somebody who is an encourager, not somebody that is going to bring more pain to somebody. And to use our life really like these kids in Africa that we see on a regular basis that are using their lives to bring healing to those in their path because of the hurt and pain that they've gone through. And so I'm trying to bring that home as well in everything that I do. And, you know, this month is my October birthday month. And I really have been challenged by the Lord to make this month where every single day I wake up in the morning, I am going to ask the Lord who I can bless and one person that I would normally not go out of my way for, whether it's just a phone call or a text message or something that's kind and sweet to bless somebody. And, you know, it takes 21 days to form a habit. And even though we're already, you know, into October, my birthday's at the end of the month, but I'm just going to take the rest of this month and every single day, just ask the Lord who I can bless that I would normally not think about to bless. And I'm just going to go out of my way, out of my comfort zone a little bit, and to allow the Lord to do a little bit more beauty through my life. And that's my birthday, personal birthday challenge. And that might be a challenge for all of you listeners, you know, ask the Lord who you could bless each morning when you wake up. Ask the Lord that. And who you would normally not bless. That's not your normal, you know, kids in your household or kids that you would normally be in front of or adults, but out of your way, going out of your way to be disrupted a little bit out of your comfort zone.
Yeah, I like that. So everyone, take a moment to ask God, who could you bless? Who can you invite? Also thinking about children, sometimes I'll just invite them to walk the dog with me, invite them to do the dishes with me, even though it'll take much longer if they do the dishes with me. You know, like it's just inviting them into your day, into your life, into your thoughts and prayers. So thank you for joining us and hope you tune in next week.
Thank you for listening to the Voice with Action podcast. If you enjoyed today's episode, would you consider sharing or subscribing to this podcast and leave a 5-star review to help us grow? If you want to reach us or help us end child trafficking in West Africa, go to orphanreliefandrescue.org. That's orphanreliefandrescue.org. See you next week.